Good morning. Thank you for your welcome, Dave. If you want to drive a golf buggy, do you have to be good at golf? Because that would just rule me out. The ball's got to be bigger for me. And the Freemans, go and see them. Go and see them. Show them that they're part of this family. I'm on leave this week as well, so I am not at the hospital this week, and so take my place and go and see them and show them your love. Without words, often strength passes. One day I was down in the rehab unit at the hospital. I'm the chaplain at Tamworth Hospital, and I was spending the morning in Ward 11, the rehab unit. I was taking time with an elderly lady that I'd come to know over some months. She'd been there some time. She was not responding to treatment. Things were pretty much at a standstill for her. Now, you might be aware that trying to care for someone who is sitting down and you're standing up, it's not actually the best, it's not ideal, because you feel like you're standing over them. And that was the case here, because she had to be sitting down and I had nowhere to sit. So I was standing next to her. In fact, I was leaning on her little hospital tray table. You might know those little things that go around on wheels, and they're about that high. So I'm kind of leaning like this, you know, and I'm here and she is just there. It's like that. And we had a pause in conversation. The words just ran out, which is okay. And I must have looked away for a moment, or maybe a minute, out across the garden and the car park there. I must have looked away, because a moment later I realised that she's reached a hand out and she's touched my hand. She's put her hand on my hand. She just needed someone to hold her hand. And so we held hands and we said nothing for probably 2 minutes. And it was kind of odd, because, you know, she didn't want to unload her heart. She didn't want to ask, you know, where is God in the midst of, you know, these frustrations for me, or anything like that. She just needed someone to hold her hand. And maybe you found yourself in that kind of moment where you just knew that just being there is more important than anything else at that time. So it was Leslie Weatherhead, who's a church pastor whose people had endured the chaos and the mess and the heartache of the London Blitz in the Second World War. It was he who said, "Without words, often strength passes." Not always, but more often than we realise. So in this topical message today, I'll be encouraging you to think about when you have an opportunity to care for others, because as disciples of Jesus, our call, after loving the Lord Jesus, our call is to love our neighbour. That's what the Master has said. We've just heard him say it from Matthew 22:39. So it might be true, maybe you don't have my job, but we do in fact share the same calling. So we're going to spend some time thinking about what you can do as you love your neighbour in the context of caring for them at some point of need. And I think we know that we don't have this passage from Matthew 22 simply to show us that Jesus could argue with the Pharisees. It's there for us because this is what Jesus thinks is important. This is how God's people are to direct their lives. This is our compass. It's a true north for us, if you like. Love for God, the great commandment, and love for our neighbour, which flows from the first one. The second great command, says the Master, is not far from the first. So in light of that theme of neighbour, of loving God, loving our neighbour, what is it for us to love our neighbour? I want to share a couple of insights, I guess, that I've picked up in my current job, things that might be translated into whatever you do, and then offer a few practical insights for caring for one another. And so to begin, three observations. The first observation is that people are just the same. People are just like us. just think briefly for a moment about all the points of contact you have with people in the community, the circles that you move in, the strangers who cross your paths, strangers who over time they might become more than strangers. In that regard, remember that first, we are humans. We're human, and as such, we are wired to deal with other human beings. Not just Christians, but human beings. God, who is relational, has made us in his image, so that's us. But remember, second, we also live in a fallen world. Things have gone wrong, they've gone badly wrong. And so people we meet with are dealing with things. You might have come here this morning dealing with things or having to put things on hold. And maybe you've got to go home and deal with things. And we may not all be in crisis, but we know that sin has touched us all. And so we deal with people who have their battles. They might hide them really well, but they have their battles. And remember, thirdly, that we too are like them. We too have our battles. We are touched by sin, by weakness and illness, and ultimately death. And so at one level, we Christians actually have an awful lot in common with those who do not know the Lord Jesus. People are the same. But second observation, which is now going to sound like I'm about to contradict the first, is that people are not the same. People are not the same. We are all so different. No two people are truly alike. And if your personal encounter with someone becomes a little more serious, then we must remember that people are different. They're not always what they seem. We cannot easily sum people up. Even our Christian brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes we fall into this trap, don't we? We think we've got people picked, you know, and we say, aha, well, you're the difficult one, or you're the type that nothing ever phases you. You're the one who's, you know, you're always on some crusade, you know. We think we can categorise people like that. And when we think we've got someone worked out, do we stop listening to them? And do we stop caring? Because we think we've got them picked, and there's nothing else to find out. And do we stop caring? But you know the truth about this. It just takes time. It just takes time to know people. And that's important because we really don't know them. I mean, we don't know what's going on for them. I overheard an exchange once where the mother of a patient shared her child's illness with somebody else. The reply came back, oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, well, that's like you've got this to deal with and then there's this and they do this. My brother had that, you know, and so it went like that. But we don't know, not always. And it does not always help saying things like, oh, I know what it's like, because you don't know what it's like for them. You know what it's like for you. People are different. And it takes time and effort, but as we take time, the value of your compassion increases. People are not the same. And so third observation, isn't it incredibly freeing to remember that it is not up to us to solve something, to change someone, to have a solution? Think of Abraham, promised by God that he would have a son, and yet commanded to sacrifice him. Think of Joseph, promised a place of rule and influence in Egypt, and yet languishing in that country, in a stinking prison. Or think of the Master, think of Jesus himself, promised all power and authority, and yet called to a dreadful, horrible death. But it's not just the great ones who must face dreadful choices. Maybe you've been with someone who was maybe not in that situation identically, but they're in a corner. And there's just no room, it seems, to move. And they might even have pleaded with you. Do you have any clues? Do you have any idea? It's a terrible question to be asked. It's the reason I wanted us to hear from Psalm 42 this morning, one of the passages I often turn to when I'm with someone, is Psalm 42, because it's a classic end-of-the-rope psalm. written by someone who loved God, but who was in the dark. What do I do next? I have no idea. Do you have any clues? Maybe you've been with someone who finds themselves in that dark place. How do we love them? Well, you love them just as the Lord Jesus first loved you. You love them in the dark. There's a tension that it's good to recognize. A tension that we must learn to hold in balance. The tension that the world can be a dark place and yet God is good and faithful. We must learn to walk with that tension in that moment. How freeing it is in our care for others to remember that we're not called to change things nor to speak glib answers. We are called to be there. So, what is it to be there? I want to offer a few useful means. Well, nine useful means for caring for your neighbour, for the familiar stranger, whoever they might be, whether you have my job or whether you don't. It's not, of course, like every chat is going to end up in the deep end, in the deep and meaningful end. But how does somebody realise that you are prepared to go some distance with them? How will they know that you are prepared to just take a further step than offering a glib answer like, it'll be okay, or you'll be okay, you'll get over this, you'll conquer this, you always do? How does someone recognise that you're prepared to step beyond an easy sentence like that? If we want to communicate that we are ready to go there, what can we do? Well, we could try these. This is not exhaustive. It's not like there's nine only. But first, listen. If our God is the speaking God, He is also the God who listens. Otherwise, why do we pray? We're going to take some time in prayer after I sit down, and God will listen to us. He is the listening God. Let's become a little more ready to listen than speak. We don't really need to fill in the silences, the awkward silences that may come, because after a while you discover that they're not awkward, they can be precious. You don't have to fill them in with more words and with more random questions. We don't have to fill in the gaps, and they're not gaps, really. Second, don't hurry. You have all the time in the world with the person who is in front of you. You really do. People easily pick up when you'd rather move on, but don't move on, because people need time to process things. They need time to maybe say silly things aloud just because they need to get things off their chest, and they need time to do it in the company of another human being. It sounds a bit odd, but when we're prepared to stop with people, you can actually go a long way with them. So stay in that moment. Don't hurry. Third, respect the other. Respect the other. I trust that we all desire to bring the gospel in conversation with our neighbour, whoever it might be. But of course, why should they listen to us if we will not take them seriously? Even when we find ourselves disagreeing on something that they might say. Because yes, we do need to earn the right to speak of Jesus and eternal life. Fourth, listen. I've not just repeated myself. Get used to hearing that word. But listen. In other words, learn to reflect back. Perhaps know about reflecting back already. Reflecting back, you can do it in a variety of ways. You can reflect back regarding the facts they say, or the thoughts they say, or the emotions that they share. And so they might say, for instance, it's raining. So there's your fact, you know. Or they might say, I think the washing will get wet. So there's a thought. Or they might say, I'm worried that I'm going to get roused on because I left the washing out and it's gotten wet. So you could reflect back and you could say, well, it sounds like you're feeling a bit anxious about things at home. Have you hit the nail on the head? Have you really heard them? Well, you'll know. You'll find out by the way that they respond. Listen by reflecting back. Which kind of leads into the fifth one. The fifth, number five, focus on the other, not your next answer. If we're always thinking of the next thing that we want to say, and wow, I am guilty of this. But if we're always thinking of what we want to say, oh, I've got a good answer for that theological inaccuracy that you've just spouted there. I can really slam that one down. But if you do that, how can we recognise what's important for them? How can we acknowledge it? So don't piggyback. You know, that we piggyback, you know, the idea where we easily spring off into some other topic just suggested by something that they've said. And suddenly we've taken our encounter over here when in fact they want to be here. So focus on the other. Sixth, number six, you don't have to offer advice. Isn't that great? Because I don't have much advice to give, and we don't have to offer advice. Of course, we know people discover very often that they don't want answers anyway. They want someone that they can voice their concerns with. Someone who, however briefly, walks with them in the dark, and it's in that encounter, that engagement, where actually they often will find an answer for themselves, or they will simply find a different perspective, a new perspective, a more God-shaped perspective on their issue. And of course, as you do that, you are modelling the grace of Jesus, who dares to sit with people like us, who dares to sit with sinners. You might well find yourself in a place where Jesus can easily enter the conversation. But seven, well, what a surprise. Number seven is listen. Listen, by which I mean watch your and watch their body language. If you're chatting with someone and you're doing that, what's that communicating? Yeah, you're being defensive, yeah. Or that. Kind of looks a bit different. Well, it doesn't look open. Watch your body language. You want to be open and relaxed, not closed and defensive. It's always good if you can do this, and it's not always possible, but if you can speak eye to eye with the same eye level, which is why it's always great to be able to sit with someone when you're visiting them in hospital instead of, you know, standing over them like that. And what is their body language saying to you? Are they relaxed? Are you too close? Are you being too pushy? Is it time to move on? And so be aware of what body language is saying. There was a thing on the radio yesterday about social robots and the way technology is developing so that, you know, we may come up with a robotic kind of personality that hears the things you say and can mimic things. And, you know, so you can get to the point where you can tell a social robot a joke and you laugh and it'll laugh with you. Incredible, isn't it? But that's just words. That's just words, isn't it? Because what people have always told us is that the majority of what people hear from you is your body language. It's your body language. Isn't that incredible? Social robots. We'll never pick that up. We need human-to-human contact. Eighth. Number eight. Learn to be there. Learn to stay there. For just these few minutes, this person in front of you is the most important person that there is. And they deserve your utter attention. Don't think about your next appointment. People will see that. You want to be present with them. This is where your focus and your interest is. This human being and how much they matter to God. Here now. Learn to be there. And ninth, number nine, pray. Pray, inviting God to come with you and inviting God to be in the midst of that encounter. Invite your sovereign Lord to be there too, doing what only He can do, raising questions and softening hearts and opening eyes do pray. Without words, often strength passes. And not our strength, but that of the Sovereign Lord, who calls all people to trust and to obey his Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, you're a disciple of Jesus, and so you bring the Holy Spirit with you into whatever the encounter might be. And so, where is God in this encounter? Where is God when you deliberately take time with someone? And is he silent? And what if you don't have your Bible just handy? And it's just you and the other person in the shop or in the office or down around a coffee table, down inside the SU tent, wherever it might be. Where is God in that moment? Has he left you alone? Of course not. Of course not. Through the prophet Isaiah, he says to us, "Is not this the kind of fasting that I've chosen? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I. Here am I.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we of ourselves are powerless to love one another as we should without your divine power. Please work in us as we reflect on these things, as we consider those we meet, and how we might be your person in that moment for the sake of Jesus. And we ask in his name. Amen.